You know, if they say sometime, well, you can't say that. Try and stop me. So we do not love our enemies by trying to get them to speak well of us. Because we'll lie to ourselves and we'll say like, well, if we develop a nice relationship, you know, and we love our enemies by doing this and that, and, you know, what they would want to do is secretly hide their real motivations, befriend their enemy, and then try to, by subtlety, get the gospel into them. And I tell you, that's not the way it works. It does not work that way. Because what happens is when you make friends with people like that, let's say you meet some people who drink a lot and you want to preach the gospel to them. So instead of rebuking them, however gently or whatever the case calls for, remember the Spirit is to be our guide, you say, well, I'm just going to become friends. And what is more likely to happen is that they will seduce you into drunkenness before you will seduce them into righteousness. Righteousness is not seductive. It doesn't work like sin. You have to hunger and thirst for it. It doesn't beckon you. You know, righteousness does not beckon us to gluttonize ourselves on it, like food. It is something that has to come from within us, that we hunger and thirst after it. And therefore, God has ordained something very simple. It is the foolishness of preaching. What is preaching? Am I preaching? Well, sort of. Preaching literally just means to proclaim as an herald. It means just to be declarative about things. To just say things as they are. You know, they which do such things shall not inherit eternal life. You'll get no friends saying that. And people are going to say nasty things about you if you say things like that. But what? Loving your enemies does not mean having them speak well of you. Because that's what they did to the false prophets. Everyone loved the false prophets. What about turning the other cheek? Well, turn the other cheek. But as Jesus also did, sometimes it's you turn to them your two cheeks. I mean the buttocks. And you hightail it out of that situation. That doesn't mean you stand there and take a beating if you don't have to. Unless you let the Spirit of the God and saying, well, this is where I'm going to die or something like that. Evacuate. Jesus did it. Remember back when they led him to the precipice of the hill? Back in chapter 4, they wanted to throw him over the brow of the hill. Right? And what did he do? He hightailed out. He didn't say like, well, I guess this is it. Praise God. You know, no, he got away. So turn the other cheek. If it's a slap on the face, if it's a slap on the cheek, turn the other cheek. It's also referring to verbal assaults like that. Sometimes you just take the insult of your enemy. And again, I take it in terms of for my sake. I'll take a slight against me for the sake of the gospel. But it doesn't mean I suffer other people to sin by keeping silence. And what I mean is, it doesn't say, why did they slap you on the face? Because you've offended them. Why do people slap you on the cheek? Is it just someone walks up to you on the street, whack? Or someone's trying to mug you? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when you go to your enemy and you try to love him and you say, look it, if you keep doing those things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And whack, they slap you. Turn to them the other also. But what I'm telling you is true. Whack. So what it means is you keep on. It doesn't mean like, shut up. If your enemy doesn't like what you say, shut up before him. Keep quiet before him. Turn the other cheek is defiance. It is defiance of your enemy. Meaning, I'm preaching the gospel to you, and you don't like it, so you slap me. Here's the other cheek. Because I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm still going to tell you what the truth is. And if they don't like it, they can go away. But I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm going to stand right here and continue saying the words I'm saying, no matter how grievous they are to you. And if it comes to my life, unless God is leading me to the last moment of my life on this earth, and I'm going to prepare to die there in a dangerous situation, evacuate. I don't want to come to blows over the gospel. I know that is expressly forbidden. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take the coat also. And him that asks, give them. If someone wants to borrow, you let them borrow. But what he's saying is we need to have a heart of generosity, ready to give, not anxious to get back, willing to lose, willing to sacrifice. Lay not up your treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. Sometimes thieves do come. And we ought to be merciful to those who take our earthly goods, knowing that we have something that they cannot take away. And this is something hard to be tested on because man wants to hold on to what he's got. It's natural. That's why even in my speaking on this, I want to make sure we clarify, lest we take too radical a position. Maybe that's the wrong spirit. Let's take the spirit of radicalism. I don't feel strong to be tested on this. But on the other hand, I want to fulfill God's will. And whatever God wants me to go through, I have to submit to it. I want to inherit eternal life. I want to be like Him. And that's asking a lot. And therefore, much is asked of us in the pursuit of that. I think that's what he's saying, is that I'm going to ask a lot of you. I'm going to ask a lot. Not so much to do, but to lose. Whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose it for my sake shall gain it. Verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. For if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, and receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind to the unthankful, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So I said that the rich should learn to distribute their wealth. That's why taxes are a bit of a hindrance to righteousness, because they take away your wealth and make you feel like holding on what you got left. When you see that money going out the tax door, you think, oh, they've taken so much. It makes it harder to give what you have left, unless you're really rich. Oh, then you're able to give a lot of money. But really, as a percentage of the whole, how much is it? Jesus asks us to do for others what we would have done for us.